Kilo 8, Zulu Alpha Golf.
W8, all up there, escape mark 1.
Kilo 8, Zulu Alpha Golf.
WAFU, KDPR.
And it's QYQ, portable monitoring, statewide 1.
Sheriff, you said November 8th, Quebec, Yankee Quebec. This is Whiskey 8 Victor Romeo Juliet. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, located in beautiful Waterford Township.
Hey, Greg, you got it exactly right. NAQYQ, Quebec, Yankee Quebec. Name is Jay, currently in, well, border of Livonia and Northville.
Well, good afternoon, I think you said Jay. Juliet Alpha Yankee, yeah. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, and good afternoon. Hope everything is good over there. It's a nice day over here in Waterford. Nice breeze and comfortably warm. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. It feels fantastic and beautiful. Sun, a little breeze. Yeah, nice day, man. Nice day. But let me know about my signal. I'm a relatively new DMR user, and I've got an HT in the car, so if it was marginal, I wouldn't be shocked, but learning as I go. So I live downtown Detroit near Belle Isle, and so when I'm right there in the city, pretty sure I'm close to a repeater, and but curious how it's performing here.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to pause it. I'm picking you up on the Novi machine. You sound great. You're solid. No pixelation. Good audio, too. So you said you live near Belle Isle there, and I wonder what part of the city you are in. It must be awful close to Belle Isle. I'm located in Waterford, Michigan, about 7 miles west of Pontiac, and a couple miles south, due south of Oakland County International Airport. Back to you.
Oh, that's great. It's a nice place. I trained as a private pilot and didn't do much of any flight operations into and out of Pontiac, but I did get a chance to tour the control tower there at Pontiac. That was pretty great. And I'll probably talk to air traffic control there once or twice if I pass by. Yeah, beautiful part of our area. Yeah, I live about a mile away from the Belle Isle Bridge, off of the river, about a mile, maybe east of the bridge, about a half mile, and so not far at all. Sort of dead center between downtown and Grosse Pointe Park, so I'm 4 miles away from the Renaissance Center, and I can see the top of the building from my second floor home office, which doubles as my radio shack as well. And so makes it easy to reach the traditional FM repeaters like the GM Amateur Radio Club repeaters up there. But so, like I said, new to DMR, learning as I go, and so glad to hear that I can do okay from this area. My office is here in the Livonia area.
Yeah, very good, Jay. I have a cheat sheet, they call it. And I do have you written down. Your name sounded familiar, and I said, I want to look them up. And sure enough, you're on my cheat sheet. Probably talked to you on the Lark a number of times. Well, a few times. Haven't heard in a while. But, yeah, you're well, welcome to DMR. I was glad that I was here and had the radio on in a scan mode, and I picked you up, and I said, I'm going to answer this guy, because it's not too often I hear anybody on this statewide 1 or 2, so I'm glad that I was sitting here listening. Back to you.
Yeah, right back at you, Greg. I appreciate the callback. Yeah, I was actually really fortunate. A friend of mine is the club.
Very good, Jay. All right, it was good to hear from you, and I'll let you get on in, and thanks for the cue. So on DMR. NAQYQ W8VIJ Waterford, Michigan 73J. Have a great rest of the day.
KF8HBW testing on statewide one from Novi. KF8HBW clear.
Clear. KF8HBW testing on statewide one from Novi. KF8HBW clear.
Alpha, Delta 8, Mike Delta, Mike, we're in statewide one.
AD8NP, this is KF8HBW in Novi. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good here. Just leaving work over on the west side of Detroit, heading back to St. Clair Shores.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Sierra Delta, Chris.
All right, not sure if I was on the right repeater there. Just heading back to St. Clair Shores from work on the west side of Detroit. Doing pretty good today.
Yeah, 88 MP, catch you here in Novi. Hey, man, good to hear. Hope you're having a good day. Yeah, man, I'm just exploring the digital world. Just got my ticket, actually, this morning from the FCC. So just checking in and making some contacts and saying, hey, good to hear you on the air and good to be with you.
Hi, congratulations on your, did you get your tech or your general?
I got the tech, yeah, man. Been around ham radio for a long time in my life. My grandfather, my mom, a bunch of relatives are all in it. But been around for a while and decided it's time to get the ticket. So I did that, and here I am.
All right, very good. Well, you have conquered probably one of the harder parts of amateur radio, and that's programming your DMR radio. So that's a great start. There's a lot of good stuff out there to be had. So certainly recommend upgrading if you get the chance. The HF world is a fascinating place to be as well. And are you a member of any club or group yet?
Well, I just tested through the South Lion group, and when you get your ticket through them, it comes with a free-year membership with them, so I'm about to embark on that. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I'll probably be in touch with a lot of good folks, and, of course, you'll be on here, so I'll learn a lot of things.
All right, very good. Yeah, I've heard of them before, and I'm over in Macomb County. Another area of interest you might look into is, I believe Novi is Oakland County. You might look into the Oakland County Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. They work with emergency management and whatnot throughout Oakland County and other areas to provide emergency services. So I'm a member of the amateur Macomb County Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And there's also a group called OXCOM. I don't know if it's so much as a group, but it's a state-recognized radio communications position in case there's a statewide emergency, and you learn more about that in the Amateur Radio Public Service Corps group.
I appreciate that information. That's good stuff to know. Thanks.
So what kind of radio are you running?
So I got a Radiodity GD77. Actually picked this thing up about 9 years ago, and some definitely a long-time listener, first-time caller kind of situation over here.
All right, very good. Yeah, I'm running off the Radiodity, this DB25D. I think this is a designator. It's a small 20-watt mobile radio. Fits nicely in the car. I just got a little short quarter-wave mag mount on the top.
That's cool to know, man. Yeah, I'm entirely an HT situation right now, but definitely researching stuff about getting it done mobile, like for the car. So good information to know. Appreciate it. I'll write that down.
Yeah, the DMR is nice because it's digital, so you get into repeaters a lot better with less power. So the handheld seems to do a pretty good job, especially if you have a decent antenna with them. This little unit here, because I'm used to the old VHF analog radios, which are quite a beast. They usually come in a 50-watt variety, and I've hesitated putting one of those in my car. I've got a 2019 Chevy Equinox, and there's no real good place to mount it without messing something up and drilling a hole where I don't want to. I got this little radiosity here. It fits underneath my, in a little cubby hole underneath the dashboard where the USB-C plugs in for my phone, and it's got a little cigarette outlet adapter there. It tucks right away in there real easy, and it's easy to pull in and out. So I really like this one.
Yeah, I've been looking for some things that match the same criteria because I'm in a Subaru Impreza, and so it's got a similar kind of cubby hole I can talk about with a cigarette lighter and stuff like that. And I'm looking around because, you know, same reservations as you. Don't exactly want to, you know, drill some holes into my car that I might, you know, want to, you know, change later. So, you know, after some long thought about it. So, yeah, trying to figure out something I can, you know, do that, you know, gets the job done, but, you know, doesn't do any kind of permanent change to my car.
This is the one here's the ticket. A little tricky on the programming software. It wasn't as nice as the programming software for the, I guess I use the GM20, Gaofang UV32. Used its own software, and the way you program the groups and the zones was, and the channels was a lot different. So a little learning curve there, but I finally got it working. Did a range test off the Mount Clemens repeater, all the way up into just before I got to 69 up near Port Huron, going up I-94. So even at 20 watts, I got a lot of range out of it.
That's good to know. Yeah, I'm here on 5 watts with this one, and that's the max power on this one I got. So it's, at least it's good to know I'm getting through, and you know, we're able to have a good conversation with this. So. Yeah, man. Appreciate all the information. It's good stuff to know, and thanks for the conversation.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just picking up into some traffic getting on to I-75, so I'll say 73s. So we'll talk to you later down the line. You have a great day. 88MT.
Thanks, man. You have a great day as well. KF8, HPW clear.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Sierra Delta, KF8 GSD, Chris listening. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Golf Sierra Delta listening and commuting on I-75, where there's a lot of traffic northbound.
Hey, Chris, this is David Alpha Delta 8 Mike Papa, just getting on I-75 south of 57 McNichols.
Excellent. Well, hello. I'm actually traveling northbound about to pass 8 Mile down here.
All right, you are in front of me by 2 miles.
Now I kind of forgot, but is exit, what was that, 67 the one that you were talking about, or 57?
I am just coming up on exit 57.
Oh, yeah, so that's a little bit south, so we're kind of heading in opposite directions. From what I recall, it kind of looked pretty clear there, but that's all right. I know there's always traffic northbound over here, mostly because of this 8 Mile exit lane closing, and then 696, too.
Yes, but yeah, I'm heading northbound also. It's always busy this time of day when I get off work. But it seems to roll pretty smooth. As long as there's no accidents, everything goes along reasonably quick.
Yep, ain't that right? It's always this 8 Mile exit that, like, backs up people for no reason, and then 696, too. But if you play it smart as a driver and you pay attention, I think it's a little difficult to get into accidents. And it's usually other people, too. I hope you drive safe, too. It's not fun, but it does clear up after 8 Mile for a little bit.
Yeah, it usually clears up. And then that exit onto 696, just depending on how you play that one, it takes a little bit to get off there. I usually get off on 696 and head east after this one.
Not bad. I know my exit is the 11 Mile one, so that exit lane itself does get backed up because of 696, but once it's passed, it's a clear shot to my exit, too. So, yeah, pretty interesting I-75 driving experience, not for the faint of heart. Other than that, how's your day been so far?
It's been pretty good. I work for AT&T. I run around town fixing whatever service anybody has. And we're getting to the end of our years of delivering copper service. So I had, for the first time, tell somebody I could not fix their service. And we had another option, the AT&T Phone Advance, which is basically you're plugging your home telephones in over to a box for the cell network.
Wow, so it sounds like you're in the telecommunications industry right now. I thought that comes in handy with ham radio.
It does. It's actually worked both ways. I've kind of been in electronics for a long time. It's always been an interest. I did civil engineering electronics when I was in the Air Force, and some of my HF experience with amateur radio and circuitry has actually come in handy the other way around with AT&T, because the DSL and now the U-verse is really just HF communications over copper wire.
Wow, I did not know that. The extent of my telecommunications knowledge comes to replacing a home Wi-Fi modem combo thing and replacing it with just a modem to plug in the cable in and then the Wi-Fi router itself to get service to the house.
Yeah, that's some place to start. Yeah, I've got 25 years with the company. I do everything from a regular POTS line, which is just your plain old telephone service, DSL, U-verse, high-cap T1 lines, fiber optic lines for residential and commercial and for the cell towers. So they've got me doing about a little of everything now.
Wow, well, that definitely sounds like a lot of fun. They have you climbing those towers outside?
No, I don't mess with the towers. I fix the fiber optic cable that runs to them for a cell tower. So if the cell tower goes down, it's usually a fiber that breaks, and then I'll go fix that. So about the highest I get off the ground is maybe 22, 23 feet if it's a real tall line. Most of them sit about 18.
Oh, thank goodness. I wouldn't imagine what it's like to climb one of those towers, too. 25 feet, I'd say, is manageable as well. Tell me, how many people still have landlines in their house nowadays?
Very few. The last one I was at today, there were probably maybe four left out of a box that used to carry probably 600. So there's very few people left with it, and not much longer will we have it. In fact, even our U-verse service delivered over copper is going to go away. AT&T is discontinuing anything that's copper-based no later than December 2029, and so between now and then, we're going to be shutting down COs and either transferring service or just turning it off altogether for people who don't transfer it.
Wow. That's still pretty incredible, though. I assume it's still like the old-fashioned, you know, cables going into a certain switch box and a switch box routing the calls around, too. It's not modem-based for the landlines, is it?
No, not modem-based at all. It goes in, and they've got electronic switching over the mechanical switching they had years ago, although the last central office in Detroit to have mechanical switching did away with it back in 2001. So it wasn't that in the big scheme of things, it doesn't seem that long ago. I remember walking into office and hearing the mechanical switches actuating as people dialed numbers, and that was gone pretty soon after I started it when I went to all digital switching. And of course now it's all digital with either fiber optic or cellular. So any way you go, your voice gets digitized before it leaves your home pretty much these days.
Wow, thank you so much for clarifying. That really does open it up a lot. I know I have one client I do snow removal for in the winter, and he still has a landline in his house, and that's the only thing he has. So whenever I want to contact him, I can only call his landline. It's very fun, very interesting, and sometimes I wonder what it would be like to have a landline in the house, maybe have two, one upstairs, one downstairs. I'm sure it can't be too much more different than a regular cell phone. And I think some people might have, like, fancier landlines where it does memorize contacts and whatnot.
If you just have the POTS line, it really doesn't do much. The phone would do all the heavy lifting. If you have caller ID, the phones will keep track of the calls coming in. But that's about it. You can program some of the old phones that were programmable with a speed dial number. But other than that, the big use for the AT&T phone advanced system is mostly the elderly are using it. It might become popular amongst businesses, but depending on, like a small business might use them if we're shutting down copper services. But the advantage for the older folks is that we go in, we hook everything up, get it running, and then to them, it's like picking up their phone like they've done for the last 30, 40, 50 years. They don't see any difference. So for older folks who are uncomfortable with cell phones, it's a handy device.
Oh, yes. I know a lot of my older clients, too, kind of refuse to upgrade to a smartphone, and if they do upgrade to a smartphone, they don't upgrade to, like, the next available model, too, and they tend to have older ones, too. Whatever works for them, I'm really happy that they at least have a phone and can contact me, too.
Yeah, it helps. If somebody can use a cell phone, I would recommend it. Just for the sake of traveling, there are no pay phones out there anymore. You're kind of on your own if you don't have a cell phone. Although if I had some older person come up to me at a restaurant, say, or a rest stop or something, say, I don't have a cell phone, but I need to call my family, I'd help them out. I would hope most people would. But, yeah, any of your clients that you work with that don't want to get rid of their landline, there's still an option out there for them. Even with voice over IP through Uverse or Xfinity, it works pretty much the same way. You can backkey the network in a house off the Uverse or Xfinity phone circuit for voice over IP, feed all the phones in the house, and it's no difference to them at that point if they go that route. Of course, if they don't want internet at all, it's usually tough because they won't sell voice over IP without internet typically.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that internet would be bundled with the voice over IP since it is internet-based overall, too. I find really interesting technology, especially going back to some of the more rudimentary stuff, too, just to kind of see how things were back in the days and why modern infrastructure runs the way it does nowadays.
I had to switch repeaters. I couldn't hit the Detroit repeater anymore, so now I'm on the Mount Clemens repeater. I have an old 1920s phone in my house. It's got the little ringer on it. You spin the dial and rings the bell and rings the circuit on the other end to let them know that you're calling. Usually the operator will pick up. And the thing works. I've had it hooked up to my phone circuit and been able to make a phone call with it or been able to talk on the phone with it. Can't make a phone call with it because when I spin the ringer, nobody picks up.
Sorry about that. I was talking to my roommate really quick, too. Do you mind repeating that? Sorry to bother.
Hey, yeah, no problem. In fact, I went to key up here and it kept timing out. I couldn't hit the Detroit meter. I'm on 696. So I had to switch over to Mount Clemens. I don't have the roaming set up on this one. But I'm saying I've got an old 1920s phone in my house. It's the old style where you spin the handle and the bell rings and the operator picks up on the other end. And so you can talk on it. You just can't dial. There's no way to dial on it. And, of course, the pulse dialing is no longer in use anyway. It's all ETMF. And so it works great. Sounds a little tinny, but other than that, the phone functions. And I've got another one that's probably a 1940s phone, similar setup where you got to spin it and it rings the phone. And so one of my projects when I retire is to hook up a line from my kitchen to my garage so my wife can call me.
Wow, that sounds pretty nifty right there. You mentioned roaming, though, and I know that's something I started to configure yesterday, too. From what I recall from all the research I did, it's essentially if you can't hit one DMR repeater, your handheld will automatically switch to another one that you pre-programmed in. And that is something I set up last night with the MI5 DMR network, although I haven't had an opportunity to test it since the closest one and the best reception I get is the one from Detroit. However, I am going on a trip Saturday night. I'll be able to see if it works or not, or if I set it up correctly.
Okay, yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I haven't set mine up for that yet. I'm going to probably work on that. You were dropping out of the repeater. If you're still trying to pick up on the Detroit repeater, you're dropping out on occasion. You might want to switch over to Mount Clemens. All right, hey, you still there, Chris? Were you going east or west on 11 miles? You're going east, Mount Clemens. If you're going west, probably Pogai.
Here we go. I'm back. It's I just got home, too, but unfortunately my room, where it's located, is in between a lot of trees and buildings, so my signal strength isn't as good. However, I just hooked up one of my more bigger and powerful antennas. Well, sensitive antenna. So hopefully that should fix the issue right there.
It did. Are you still bouncing off the Detroit repeater?
Yep, that's correct. I'm located here in Royal Oak. I know there is a GMRS repeater in Mount Clemens, and that one, I need a full 10-watt handheld and a 41-inch antenna to send and receive transmissions pretty good, at least from inside my room. Outside is something completely different.
How about the Novi repeater? Have you tried to hit that one?
Not the DMR one, but I believe there is one on 444-800. That one I can receive only with the 41-inch antenna, but my transmissions were reported to be weak and staticky.
Yeah, I don't know the exact location of the frequency for the Novi, but if you're heading west off of 75 at 11 miles, I wonder if the Novi might be a little bit closer. Not sure.
Now, that Novi repeater I was talking about was a log one, not a DMR one, but I think I did program a Novi DMR one, and I'll have to double-check on my software.
Yeah, the MI-5 does have one in Novi, so you might want to look into that. But very good. And I hit the, where I'm at from home and St. Clair Shores, I hit Mount Clemens pretty easy, and I think I can even hit Detroit from there most times, so I'm kind of right in between the two. And I've not been able to hit the Novi one yet. I've never been over that side of town when I need to get on.
Well, you're definitely coming in pretty good on the Mount Clemens repeater, too.
Yeah, I actually like that programming method better. I've got a radio program the channels in the zone, and if you make a different zone and you want to use the same channels, you've got to reprogram them. Where you make the channels first and then assign them to zones, you can assign the same configuring and setting up different times.
Yep, I have the second option over here where I can divvy up whichever frequencies I want, whichever zone I want, too. So I'm pretty happy with that. I also, last night, just for example, if you want to put in one frequency through the software, you have to open it up one at a time, put the input-output frequency, all the little settings, and it gets super annoying super quickly. And the MI5 website actually has all of the DMR repeaters and the respective information. So I figured out that if I export what was currently in the radio as a CSV file, I can open that up in Google Sheets, change the frequencies and the color codes or CTCSS codes, and then just upload that right back in. It kind of behaves similar to Chirp, but with extra steps.
Yep, yeah, that's a good way to do that. I've done that with contacts, too, where I've imported contacts. I bring them into Excel, do whatever I need to do to manipulate it, get it right in the right order, save it as a CSV, and then import it that way. That usually works pretty good. Well, I am at a home now, and so, hey, good talking to you, Chris. Appreciate the ride home, and you have a great day. 7388MP.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you today as well. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Sierra Delta, KF8GSB, Chris. Going to be clear for the time being here because I'm heading out too. 7-3, have a good one.
AFAU Mobile, Grand Rapids, listening to statewide one. AFAU Mobile on statewide one.
And AQYQ Mobile, monitoring statewide one. And AQYQ Mobile, monitoring statewide one.
Let's try this again. KEARUH, testing any radios. Anybody out there monitoring?
I hear you. KSAW.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Just reworking a code plug here and starting to get pretty frustrated, so I'm glad it worked.
Yep, sounds good.
Thanks. I will get back to it. KE8RUH.
KFAW. W8EAP. N8RAN from W8EAP.
EAP, November 8th, Radio Alpha November. I forget, I was right. Hey.
Yep, sound good. You want to show my call sign on your screen? I don't remember if I loaded a file in it.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's on there. Yep. Is mine still good?
Yeah, mine says Gearmeister. I don't know how that happened.
Uh-oh. Well, I hope it's not transmitting Gearmeister.
No, no, no. I can edit the CSV file and, you know, make a custom entry for you. But no, it's not affecting your transmit, no.
Okay, very good. Very good. Yeah, sounds pretty good. Yeah, not too bad for GMR.
Yeah, very good. Okay, it's working great. I'm inside the car over here, so I'm not that close to the repeater. So, all right, catch you on the other one. W8EAP.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you in a few. NHRAN.
KF8DRC, KF8EDQ. KF8DRC, KF8EDQ. KF8EDQ, clear. Statewide 1.
NHRAN from W8EAP.
EAP, this is NHRAN.
Yep. Yep, sounds fine.
Sweet. All right. Great. Yeah, I'm indoors. I'm not really that close to the window. So I guess it's still working pretty good.
Yeah, I just took a guess on the microphone setup. You sound about perfect. I mean, you're like pretty sure your audio level's just about right. I just, you know, took a guess on where to put it. But if you need it a little bit louder, a little bit quieter, you know how to go in there and change it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Sounds good, though. All right. All right, I'll catch you on the other one. W-E-A-P.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you on the other side. N-H-R-A-N.
N-H-R-A-N, W-8-E-A-P. Nothing heard, W-8-E-A-P.